This morning on WCHL, budget talks with school boards begin with the Orange County Commissioners, and Raleigh isn't lending any extra hands.
It feels ridiculous from a parent standpoint that here in the education state that we're losing our best teachers to other places.
Are student-athletes employees of the university for which they play? And just how bike-friendly is Chapel Hill, and is there room for improvement?
Do you feel safe cycling in town limits? 53% said no, but there are people riding bikes in town today.
These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports this morning, a very evenly matched East Carolina team comes to the Hill tonight to take on Carolina baseball. It was the Pirates with a 3-2 win exactly a week ago on their home diamond. And
the great state Carolina baseball rivalry has fizzled out.
That's this morning in Art Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
It is 7:07 at WCHL, 54 degrees in Chapel Hill, and a huge chance of rain all day today, tonight, tomorrow, and tomorrow night. With all that rain, could come some flooding. We'll check in now with Scott Sharp, senior forecaster with the National Weather Service.
We are expecting areas of drizzle and fog this morning here across the Triangle area, including the Chapel Hill region. Still kind of cool out there right now. Temperatures are in the lower 50s with a steady east-northeast wind. During the course of the day today, we are expecting a front that's currently down there across the South Carolina-North Carolina border to move northward as a warm front later today. So we are expecting the winds to come around to more of the south-southeastern direction by late this afternoon, and that will warm us up into, looks like the lower to middle 70s for highs late in the day. Once that front comes up through the region, though, it will bring a threat for some showers and thunderstorms across the Triangle area late this afternoon and this evening.
It was about a year ago when we had all this serious flooding around here, and we got lots of soaking rain leading up to all that, and the ground was just saturated. Do we possibly face the same kind of situation this time?
The potential is there. That's why we have a flash flood watch in effect that starts about 6 o'clock tonight and will run all the way through late Wednesday night. The showers and storms we get today will just prime the pump for an additional shower and thunderstorm activity we're expecting later tonight and more so during the day on Wednesday and Wednesday night. So we're looking at rainfall totals during the course of the day today and early this evening, probably anywhere from a quarter to maybe a half inch here across the triangle. The highest potential for heavier rainfall will be late tonight through Wednesday and into Wednesday evening, as we may pick up additional inch to maybe 2 inches of rainfall during that time period.
It looks like this week is going to be a really rainy week. When can we expect all this to be over and things to get back to normal?
We are expecting the weather conditions to start to improve by Thursday, maybe after lunchtime or so. Looks like right now, going Wednesday Friday into Saturday, looks like we should see a much better, more tranquil weather conditions during that time.
That is Scott Sharp, senior forecaster with the National Weather Service office in Raleigh. Again, it is 54 degrees this morning in Chapel Hill, 53 in Carborough, also 54 this morning in Hillsboro, and it is a little foggy out there as well, so visibility not great. Please drive with a little extra caution and watch out for the rain, because it looks like we're going to get a lot of it. It's that time of year when cash-strapped school systems send funding requests to the Orange County Board of Commissioners. That means there will almost certainly be hard feelings when the response comes, but leaders in public education are adamant about one thing. It's not really the commissioners they blame for low teacher pay and insufficient funding for public schools. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
PTA Council President Jeff Hall of Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools says any occasional fights between his organization and the Board of Education or the Orange County Board of Commissioners are really just a function of a bigger problem.
It feels ridiculous from a parent standpoint that here in the education state that we're losing our best teachers to other places simply because we're not respecting them as professionals and we're not paying them a fair market wage. That's not right. Our fight is with Raleigh.
Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools Board of Education Chair James Zeta Bedford said the school system starts July 1st with a budget deficit of about $3.8 million. Bedford said that's primarily due to cuts at the state level. On April 10th, the Chapel Hill Carbrough Board of Education voted to ask the Orange County Board of Commissioners for the full amount, and it's highly unlikely they'll get it. More realistically, the board came up with a first round of phase cuts that comes to a little more than $800,000 in the first round and around $2.2 million in the second. Bedford said this may be a year when the Orange County Board of Commissioners wants to exceed its usual 48.1% target for funding public schools. She said the commissioners do a good job generally of funding schools under the current circumstances. She had even stronger words than Hall for the North Carolina General Assembly. As she put it, Republicans and Tea Partiers in particular. She blames them for what she called an attack on public schools.
They're trying to blame teachers. They're stating as if it's a fact that public schools are terrible. The public schools are not terrible.
And she wasn't just talking about cuts to school funding.
The legislature is also increasing poverty, which contributes to weaker student performance and learning. So it's a spiral of political actions that, to me, are very harmful to children.
Teacher pay has been stagnant since salaries were frozen statewide in 2007, which makes both hiring and teacher retention hard for school systems. Chapel Hill Carbrough City Schools Director of Human Services, Arasi Atkins, calls it an emergency situation.
Just in terms of our numbers, we have about 56 resignations and retirements, which is about the same as last year at this time. However, I meet with principals in our HR department every year in April, and I can tell you one of the things that's really frustrating is we're almost in a holding pattern with teachers because teachers are waiting to hear something from the state, what they're going to do in terms of teacher pay.
Chapel Hill Carbrough Schools Association of Educators President Chuck Hennessy worries about the effect of the recent state law to end teacher tenure, which he describes as a loss of due process. Hennessy, Atkins, and others agree that tenure has been a recruiting and retention tool in the past. Hennessy said that the cumulative effect of low pay, loss of tenure, and an overall lack of respect from Raleigh legislators is starting to drive away a particular type of teacher.
We look at statistics for years from the State Department of Public Instruction that show us that we hovered around 12% losing teachers each year. We're at 14% now, but the big difference here is that half, as opposed to 5% in years past, are the 15-year veterans. Those are the seasoned people. When you start to lose the best and the brightest, then it makes education overall very bleak for everyone, especially kids. Well,
earlier this year, the PTA Council conducted a survey of Chapel Hill Carbrough City Schools in which staff members expressed their desire for parents to show their appreciation for the work teachers do. That includes getting involved in the classroom. Hall said it also involves political advocacy.
Getting involved, understanding the issues, knowing the facts about what's going on.
These comments were made during the K-12 Education Hour of the 2014 WCHL Community Forum that also included Chapel Hill Carbrough City Schools Superintendent Tom Forcella and Chair of the Orange County School Board, Donna Coffey. You can find this story, along with audio of the entire broadcast, at chapelborough.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
School board members from Orange County and Chapel Hill Carbrough City Schools will be presenting their budget requests to the county commissioners at a joint meeting tonight. Both school districts are facing significant budget shortfalls this year. The Orange County School Board is asking for an additional $175 per student, while Chapel Hill Carbrough officials are asking to raise the per pupil allocation by $314. All told, those requests total between $4 and $7.5 million in additional school funding, but Orange County Manager Michael Talbert says it would be very difficult for the county to cover the gaps caused by state cuts to education that came from the North Carolina General Assembly in Raleigh. And elected officials will also review the timing of a possible bond referendum to help pay for repairs to aging school facilities and discuss enrollment numbers and funding for local charter schools. The joint meeting begins at 7 o'clock tonight at the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road. Chapel Hill leaders hope a new and improved bike plan will convince more residents to ride instead of drive. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
Chapel Hill boasts one of the highest rates of bicycling commuters in the state, second to Carbrough. But town planner Garrett Davis says there are many who want to ride, yet don't.
2013 community survey questions asked 2,000 plus people in Chapel Hill spread over the whole town. Do you feel safe cycling in town limits? 53% said no.
Last night, more than a dozen cyclists rolled out to support the town's draft bike plan, which calls for improved infrastructure and policy changes to promote all types of cycling throughout Chapel Hill. Davis said the first step would be to focus on 10 short-term priority areas.
It contains some low-cost options that can make real impacts. It's not just widening roads in the short-term network. Short-term network has real safety benefits on streets downtown like Rosemary Street.
Other priority areas include Estes Drive, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, Raleigh Road, and portions of Franklin Street. The 10-project list is estimated to cost approximately $16.5 million over the next decade. Planners say that total would need to include at least $9 million in state and federal money to make the projects feasible. Cyclists came before the council with praise for the plan, which would add bike lanes, side paths, and greenways. Jason Merrill is the owner of Back Alley Bikes. He told the council that prior to moving to Chapel Hill, he'd never felt welcome on his preferred mode of transit.
I started a family here. We bought a house here. I opened a business here, all because I felt welcome here. So as the recommendations of this bike plan become realities in the coming years, a message to potential future residents will be painted right on the street, you know, in white lines, that there's a place for you here, you belong here, and you're home.
Council members were largely supportive of the plan. Here's Maria Palmer.
The biking community in this town is incredible. The number of hours they volunteer, the effort they're putting forth. In fact, I got myself a bicycle this week.
The town is accepting further public comment to refine the proposal. The council will likely vote to adopt the bike plan in June. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
WCHL News Time is 7:17. More news coming up in just a moment. Right now, let's take a look at your Chapel Hill Carboro traffic and weather together. This traffic report is brought to you by Crown Honda of South Point, home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit. Now, with your morning traffic on WCHL, here is Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. Still no problems on the roadways right now. As you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. If you see anything, give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely, and this is a good chance to remind people that if there is any kind of flooding, any kind of problems like that, we ask you to tweet in your pictures, but also tweet in any kind of updates to let us know so we can spread the word to keep people safe in the area. Again, that's at WCHL. We'll also be on Twitter at Chapelboro as well, so you can follow us there and share those updates with us there as well. Ron, another one bites the dust as Craig Ferguson announced last night he is stepping down and resigning,
really?
Or retiring from the Late Late Show.
Wow.
How about that?
Yeah, I didn't expect that.
Yeah, me neither. Of course, David Letterman announced a couple weeks back that he is retiring after, I think it's 36 years in late night TV.
Long time.
And then Stephen Colbert is taking over for him. Craig Ferguson had it in his contract that he would take over, but of course that buyout took place, and Craig Ferguson never, I don't think he really had a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. He might have wanted it, but I don't think he had a shot to be very successful in that role. So he has now announced that in December he will be done with the Late Late Show, so another new host coming to late night television.
And the question is, who would that be?
I have no idea. I think the speculation will probably begin nationally today, but I really could not put a finger on it right now. Because,
not only that, but George Clooney says he's getting married.
Well, so yeah, I know. He's off the table.
Yeah,
you can't put him there.
Can't get him.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a lucrative job, man. It would be a lot of fun to do that job.
That would be, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, listen, thanks much. We'll talk to you later and follow up on what you said just a moment ago with this flooding that is coming our way.
Yeah.
Be sure, by all means, to keep it right here on WCHL because we will have constant updates throughout the day.
That is right.
And any kind of information you need, we'll have it for you right here on WCHL 97.9 FM and 1360 AM and also on our website, chapelboro.com.
You've got that right.
All right. Now, time to turn to your weather forecast. Let's get specific about this. We have cloudy skies, areas of fog this morning, chance for showers and maybe thunderstorms and drizzle, and then numerous showers and maybe a thunderstorm or two this afternoon. Our high temperature today in the low 70s. Don't forget, a little fog this morning as well. And it's going to be very windy later on in the day. Gust up to 25 miles per hour. Chance of rain, 60%. Now, that's not even the worst of it. Tonight, we'll have an 80% chance of rain with a low in the lows in the middle 60s and some strong winds. Tomorrow, it's 90% all day and 90% chance of rain tomorrow night as well. With all that rain expected to come, then we could potentially have some flooding. So just keep that in mind as you go about your business today. You know what happened about a year ago? We got all that rain after all that slow saturation over a matter of days, and The water just didn't have anywhere to go. So let's hope that doesn't happen this time.
Our name is WCHL. Our dial position is 97.9 FM. Our website is chapelboro.com, where you can listen from anywhere in the world with instantly live streaming. You can always start your day with Ron Stutz on 97.9 FM. WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
721 at WCHL with early voting going on now in Orange County in the May 6th primary, only a week away. WCHL is hosting two candidates forums this week featuring the candidates for Carborough Board of Aldermen and the District 2 seat on the Board of County Commissioners. Yesterday, WCHL's Aaron Keck hosted the three candidates for the open seat on the Carborough Board of Aldermen, Talal Assad, Bethany Cheney, and Teresa Watson. Now, if you missed the forum yesterday, we'll be re-airing it tonight from 6 until 7 o'clock, and you can find the full audio later today on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. And tomorrow from 6 until 7 p.m., we'll host the two candidates for the seat representing District 2 on the Orange County Board of Commissioners. That would be Mark Markopoulos and Earl McKee, the incumbent. If you have questions for the candidates, you can tweet them to us at WCHL. Some clergy members are filing a novel lawsuit challenging North Carolina's constitutional ban on gay marriage, saying it violates their religious freedom. The clergy members say they would like to perform same-sex marriage ceremonies in their congregations, but can't because of the law. A lawsuit filed yesterday in federal court in Charlotte includes a dozen clergy members and the United Church of Christ, which has more than 1 million members. Their attorney, Jake Sussman, says the lawsuit opens a new front in marriage equality litigation. The Reverend J. Bennett Guess says the ban has made it difficult for clergy members to marry same-sex couples. If they do, they know they'll be breaking the law. 17 states allow gay marriage, not North Carolina. 722 at WCHL. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports. And we'll start with baseball. North Carolina's baseball team, 27-18 overall, 13-11 in ACC play, will be looking to continue its four-game winning streak tonight when welcoming East Carolina. Pirates come in with an identical overall record. They're also 27-18, and they're 13-8 in Conference USA action. They come to Bosch Hammer Stadium tonight for a 6 o'clock first pitch. Carolina slugger Sky Bolt says, unlike most seasons, the Diamond Heels don't have to automatic firepower to mow down opponents. He says this year it takes a scrappy effort from the entire lineup in order to be successful.
You got to go out there and play hard-nosed ball. We're not a team that can just show up with talent and produce and win ball games nationally. So the census in the locker room and amongst the team right now, and, you know, we can't wait for things to happen. It's time to, you got to start making them happen. We're going to have to cycle some guys in and out and figure out who can get it done.
Bolt says getting lightning fast Adam Pate. See what we did there? Skybolt, lightning fast. Adam Pate on base to help manufacture runs can really help the Carolina offense.
He knows that he can run. And we all know that he can run. He had two great at-bats, puts a good bunt down, and he walks right there. And having your fastest guy on the team on first base with no outs is how you want to start every inning.
Exam break is coming up for the Tar Heels, but a chance at revenge comes first. Pirates took down the Tar Heels a week ago, 3-2, down in Greenville. Head coach Mike Fox says every game is of the utmost importance from here on out.
You know, every game is the most important one for us. The next one is tomorrow night. I mean, they're all extremely important at this time of year. I mean, you have to take care of business at home, but every game from here on out is a pretty critical one for us.
That is head coach Mike Fox. With this urgency in place and an increasing number of balls being delivered to the outfield, the Tar Heel bats have come alive and they appear to be moving back in a positive direction at just the right time. In other words, peaking here at the end of the season, which is most important. LeBron James scored 31 points last night. Miami Heat completed a first-round sweep at the Carolina Bobcats with a 109-98 victory last night. James scored 19 points after he injured his thigh in the third quarter. He finished the game 10 of 19 from the floor and had 9 assists. Chris Bosh added 17 points. Dwayne Wade battled through foul trouble last night and finished with 15. Miami won its 20th straight game over Charlotte. They have a real mastery over the Bobcats. Heat will await the winner of the Brooklyn-Toronto series, which is tied up at 2 games apiece. Kimba Walker led Charlotte last night with 29 points. Bobcats played without Al Jefferson last night, their leading scorer and rebounder, who's been bothered by a foot injury since the first quarter of Game 1 in that that series. So Jefferson didn't play. Kemba Walker had 29 points, but as we talked about yesterday, somebody else needed to step up. Kemba Walker certainly played an outstanding game, but nobody else did last night, and that spelled defeat for Bobcats, who need to be at their best in order to have a chance against Miami Heat, that's for sure. And that score again last night, 109-98, Miami knocking out the Bobcats. The loss signaled the end of an era for the Bobcats. They will become the Hornets next season. Jim Rutherford is stepping down as general manager of the Carolina Hurricanes, and the team has promoted Hall of Fame player Ron Francis to replace him. Francis is enormously popular with the Carolina Hurricanes fans. And a series of moves announced yesterday, the Hurricanes also hired Mike Vellucci as assistant GM and director of hockey operations and promoted Brian Tatum to assistant general manager. The 65-year-old Rutherford spent two decades as the club's GM and helped shepherd its move from Hartford down to North Carolina. He assembled the teams that won one Stanley Cup, played for another, and reached the Eastern Conference Final back in 2009. The Hurricanes haven't made the playoffs since then. Francis holds team's records with 382 goals, 793 assists, and 1,186 games played. He's been the team's vice president of hockey operations since June of 2012. And again, as I said, Ron Francis really popular with Hurricanes fans, so a lot of people will probably be very happy with that move. 727 at WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz.
Archansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
The great state Carolina baseball rivalry has fizzled out. This is Archansky with Tuesday Sports Notebook. Maybe the sold-out state Carolina game at the Durham Bulls Athletic Park getting washed away on April 15th was a sign that neither team would be very good this season. The brainy ACC schedule makers did not have the Tar Heels and Wolfpack playing their usual three-game series, so the schools decided on a non-conference game at the DBAP, site of their classic extra-inning thriller in the 2013 ACC tournament. Guess what? The preseason top 10-ranked Wolfpack may not even make it back to the ACC tourney this year. Despite having the great Carlos Rodon, the second coming of Fernando Valenzuela, who struck out 15 in his last start but lost 1-0 due to anemic run support by the state offense. The impotent pack is currently 9-15 in ACC play and in 11th place. Only the top 10 teams go to the ACC tourney for some unknown reason. The Tar Heels are 13-11 and are in 6th place, but they have three-game series left with powerhouses Florida State and Miami. If Carolina gets swept in both, it could be on the sidelines with the Wolfpack. But right now, that looks like a long shot. State season, meanwhile, has to be considered no less than a disaster considering the high expectations. No tears are being shed in Chapel Hill. Because of a few nitwits from NC State who continue to fill cyberspace with scandal spam and feed the News and Observer so-called leads to follow, many Tar Heel fans couldn't care less if the Wolfpack ever wins another game in anything. That's why Marcus Page's coast-to-coast layup that stunned the crowd at the PNC, RBC, or whatever they call it, was so sweet. A rivalry is supposed to be conducted on the fields, courts, mats, track, and pools, not in the Twitter world. Unfortunately, that is where some state supporters are slapping themselves on the back silly for perpetuating misery over at the Hill. They should all get into the batter's box and take a high, hard one from Rodon. They have as much chance of hitting one fair, apparently, as the supposedly potent state lineup. They should all strike out looking bad. This is Archansky. See ya.
At Five Guys, they're in business to sell quality burgers, period. Nothing beats Five Guys' hand-formed patties of fresh ground beef piled high with any or all 15 free toppings. And who can resist Five Guys' fresh-cut Idaho fries cooked in trans-fat and cholesterol-free peanut oil? It's no wonder that Five Guys has been Sagat survey rated for 11 years. Stop by the new location at Meadowmont Village to see what all the buzz is about. For more locations and hours, visit fiveguys.com.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Complete Chiropractic Sports and Wellness. It's 80% off, $290 for a one-hour massage, available now for $59. A massage is a natural way to ease pain, help improve flexibility, relieve tension, and much more. Following your massage, the doctor will discuss your symptoms, examine your alignment, and perform a spinal correction. It's 80% off from Complete Chiropractic Sports and Wellness. It's available for a limited time. Get now at ourlocaldeal.com.
Good morning. It is 7:30 at WCHL. Time to take a look at your Chapel Hill Carborough weather. Brought to you by Fifth Season Gardening. Organic gardening, homebrew, hydroponics, cheese making, and more at their downtown Carborough store. Fifth Season, not your garden variety gardening store. 54 degrees, flash flood watch goes into effect this evening and will last through late tomorrow night. That's because we have a lot of rain in our forecast. It's going to be cloudy all day today. After the fog clears away this morning, we'll have clouds all day. Chance of showers, maybe thunderstorms and drizzle this morning. Bigger chance of rain later on in the day. Maybe some storms and some very strong winds. That actually goes for our forecast all the way through tomorrow night.
Local news all day, breaking news whenever it happened. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Alabama and Tennessee from the latest round of tornadoes in the south. In Bessemer, Alabama, Mayor Kenneth Gulley has assessed some of the damage.
We have a lot of trees down, a lot of power lines and stuff down. We have a lot of roofs off of homes. Right now, we're trying and stuff to assess and stuff how extensive that damage is.
To Kimberly, Alabama, CBS's Vicente Arenas, who says a twister collapsed a firehouse.
The roof of the building was tossed into the air and ended up at the back of the property and is now just a bunch of twisted metal.
WBBM-TV meteorologist Megan Glaros, looks like a large section of the country could get pounded with more bad weather.
There are at least 16 states at risk for severe weather today, and it extends from Michigan all the way down to the Gulf Coast and over to the East Coast. The core of the most intense activity today will once again be centered in Mississippi and Alabama.
89 Georgia counties are under a tornado watch for the next 3.5 hours. CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, talk, and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
54 degrees, 732 at WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz. Pretty sure bet we're going to get wet sometime in the next 48 hours. Here is Scott Sharp, meteorologist with the National Weather Service.
We are expecting areas of drizzle and fog this morning here across the Triangle area, including the Chapel Hill region. Still kind of cool out there right now. Temperatures are in the lower 50s with a steady east-northeast wind. During the course of the day today, we are expecting a front that's currently down there across the South Carolina-North Carolina border to move northward as a warm front later today. So we are expecting the winds to come around to more of the south-southeastern direction by late this afternoon, and that will warm us up into, looks like the lower to middle 70s for highs late in the day. Once that front comes up through the region, though, it will bring a threat for some showers and thunderstorms across the Triangle area late this afternoon and this evening.
All that potential rainfall is certainly giving us an opportunity to get more flooding. You know what happened about a year ago when we had several days of steady rain and saturation. Ground got soaked and there was nowhere for the water to go. So we have to be on the alert for that. We do have a flash flood watch which goes into effect this evening and will last all the way through late tomorrow night. In other news this morning, fairness, compensation, unionization, and ramen noodles were all hot topics of discussion last Thursday for our big-time sports section of the 2014 WCHL Community Forum. WCHL's Matt Oaks has more.
But Kelly, you don't go to bed hungry, do you?
No, I do not.
That was UNC Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham joking with senior UNC women's soccer player Kelly McFarlane. The banter was revolving around the new NCAA food policy that is set to allow student athletes unlimited access to meals. Cunningham says this will take away an invaluable aspect of the college experience.
You wouldn't have a real college experience if you don't have to boil ramen noodles at some point. I mean, every college kid has to do that.
There is ramen in my house.
But all jokes aside, Cunningham says he's worried about the feasibility of allowing schools to provide an unlimited meal plan for their student athletes. He says he thought the policy opens up the possibility of over-the-top midnight buffets and excessive snacking. Cunningham also worries that only the elite athletic programs will be able to foot the $1.5 million bill for providing their players unlimited access to food. In more general terms, UNC Associate Professor Lou Margolis takes issue with the very title, student athlete.
The term student athlete is a fabrication of the 1950s,
And it was created so that universities would not have to meet obligations to athletes who sustained serious or, in some cases, you know, life-changing injuries. I think that history and our misuse of the term student-athlete is why the students at Northwestern and students elsewhere were motivated to look into a union.
In contrast, Cunningham says he embraces the term, saying the student part of the word takes precedence.
I think that the primary role of a student is to be a student, and participation in sport is something that that I value and think adds an awful lot to their experience, but I do not think they should be considered employees.
That employee debate has given rise to a tide of support for the potential unionization of players at the college level. In fact, at private Northwestern University, football players are taking a vote on whether or not to form a union. McFarland stopped short of calling her play on the soccer field a job, but she does say the immense time commitment disallows her from seeking part-time employment.
I don't necessarily consider it a job, but in a lot of ways, in terms of the time it takes, we refer to it as like it's a job, because it's not like I have time to get another job or something like that.
Dr. Deborah Stroman, a faculty member in the UNC Exercise and Sports Science Department, says she has mixed feelings concerning the potential for college player unions.
It's very, very complex to have a union. Everything from the compensation, everything from taking just a 18-year-old and having to go to union meetings or having a union rep and what that means. So I'm excited for the students. I know they're excited. They're learning a lot. But I think they're all going to be cautious when they really understand what it means to have a union.
The hour-long roundtable could have extended on for the entirety of the afternoon. But the rising question at Chapel Hill and around the nation concerning high-level college sports was brilliantly posed by Margolis.
In the interest of fairness, individuals should be compensated according to the talent that they provide. So is it fair for them to not benefit beyond the scholarship, which we can discuss, for them to benefit beyond that? Because now billions of dollars are being generated by the talents of the football players and the basketball players. So is that fair? To me, it's a fundamental question of fairness.
Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
School board members from Orange County and the Chapel Hill Carborough City School System as well will present their budget request to the Orange County Commissioners at a joint meeting tonight. Both school districts are facing significant budget shortfalls this year. The Orange County School Board is asking for an additional $175 a student, while Chapel Hill Carborough officials are asking to raise the per pupil allocation by $314. All told, those requests total between $4 and $7.5 million in additional school funding, but Orange County Manager Michael Talbert says it would be very difficult for the county to cover the gaps caused by state cuts to education. That goes back to the General Assembly in Raleigh. Elected officials will also review the timing of a possible bond referendum to help pay for repairs to aging facilities and discuss enrollment numbers and funding for local charter schools. The joint meeting begins at 7 o'clock tonight at the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road. With early voting going on now in Orange County and the May 6th primary just a week away, WCHL is hosting two candidate forums this week featuring the candidates for Carborough Board of Aldermen and the District 2 seat on the Board of County Commissioners. If you were listening yesterday, you heard WCHL's Aaron Keck hosting the three candidates for the open seat on the Carborough Board of Aldermen, Talal Assad, Bethany Cheney, and Teresa Watson. If you missed the forum, we'll be re-airing it tonight from 6 until 7, and you can find the full audio later today on WCHL's website, chapelborough.com. And tomorrow from 6 until 7 p.m., we'll host the two candidates for the seat representing District 2 in the Orange County Commissioners, Mark Markopoulos and Earl McKee. If you have questions for the candidates, you can tweet them to us at WCHL. And in news around town this morning, Owosse is hosting a blood drive coming up tomorrow from 10 till 2:30 at its administration building on Jones Ferry Road. The American Red Cross needs donors of all blood types, especially O positive, O negative, B negative, and A negative. Walk-ins are welcome after 12 noon tomorrow. You can schedule an appointment by visiting redcrossblood.org and entering Owosse, O-W-A-S-A, as the sponsor code, or you can call Kelly Thompson. We have that contact information on our website at chapelborough.com. WCHL News Time is 7:39. Coming up next hour on WCHL, your opportunity to win some tickets to see Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. We gave some away yesterday. We'll have one every day this week. And that is, of course, coming to Durham Performing Arts Center next week. And it's an amazing show from what everything I've been told. Just amazing. Fred Black talks about inconsiderate drivers in Chapel Hill, particularly those getting around school zones and driving too fast for conditions, all that sort of thing. We all need to use common sense behind the wheel. Rand Northam is a perfect example of that. He gets to work very cautiously every morning.
Well, thankfully, there's not many obstacles in the way.
That's true. Almost none.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right. Hey, do you remember where you were when the rains fell last year?
Last year? I think it's safe to say that I was inside this building.
Well, it was quite the storm. I know Randy and I were driving. We drove to the grocery store,
mm-hmm.
and as soon as we got inside, the heavens just opened up.
I think it was on the weekend, wasn't it?
It was. It was a weekend. And so it just poured.
Yeah.
And so we went in, did our grocery shopping, and said, "Yeah, it'll pass. Thankfully, we're inside. You know,
sure.
By the time we're done, there's no way it could rain that hard for long."
You didn't think it was any big deal.
No, exactly. And we had a long grocery list, so we were like, "No problem." Well, we get done,
yeah,
and we get to the checkout, and it's still pouring. And we can hear it on the roof, and it's just pouring.
Yeah.
And we get out into the car, and then we drive home. It's about 5-10 minute drive home. And we look, and we have to drive by Bowling Creek to see it. Well, Bowling Creek had already overflowed, and it's into that, if you think of Estes and, no, not Estes, sorry, Umstead and MLK,
mm-hmm.
where Umstead and Hillsborough and MLK.
Near the police station.
Right, exactly. So just down the hill from that and over to the right if you're traveling south, to the right where that field is, the small little, you know, just grassy area, that was even flooded already.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, so I had to hop, you know, get home, unload the groceries, hop back in the car, and get back. And thankfully, I got back in the car because if I would have waited too much longer, I don't think I could have made it back to the station.
And your car may have floated away.
No kidding.
Through the parking lot.
Yeah. So, but just a crazy thing. So,
yeah.
That is all to say that we will certainly keep you posted on anything that happens if we get any kind of rain like that. Now,
mm-hmm.
luckily, Scott Sharp was saying that we should expect maybe 1 to 2 inches during that flash flooding time, which could still cause some problems. But we were talking about nearly, I think it was 5.25 inches within just a few hours, and it was 7 inches within 24 hours. So
that was really an extreme situation last year.
It was just remarkable.
Hopefully, we won't get that much, but you know, we do expect a lot. In fact, forecast says, as I said just a few minutes ago, 60% chance of rain all day today, including this morning, 80% chance tonight, 90% chance tomorrow night. So we're looking at some pretty strong probabilities of rain,
right.
Some strong winds through all of that.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, so we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But keep an eye on WCHL. We'll keep you informed.
Remember, at WCHL on Twitter. We'll also have information on Chapelboro as well, at Chapelboro. We're on Facebook, too, so you can check us out there, and we'll have all that information.
And we'll be meeting in the parking lot this afternoon to start building the ark.
Exactly. Please, come and help.
Noah's going to meet us out there.
Exactly. Also on our website, chapelboro.com, right now, Mark Barroso has a new article. It's in our lifestyle section. He says, Grumpy versus Facebook, and he talks about it's House Bill 6349, and Grumpy stands for Grammar Restoration Unknown to Many People, yo.
Case in point.
Exactly. So you'll want to check that out by Mark Barroso, again, in our lifestyle section of our website, chapelboro.com. Lots of great things, lots of great different authors there. Of course, Colleen Bridger's commentary is now posted in our local buzz section of our website, chapelboro.com, as well, and a really good commentary by her yesterday.
Pretty strong.
Health director for Orange County. And we also have lots of different information, lots of connections on our social media, Orange County Emergency Services, who we'll stay in touch with over the next couple days. I want to speak with the Chapel Hill Stormwater Management Team today as well,
mm-hmm.
to talk about what can be done, or if it's just kind of a a respond thing that you, that the stormwater management team has to do if these heavy rains fall. So we'll continue to have a bunch of information for you on our website and here online on or on the air on WCHL. But you can find chapelboro.com with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
And by the way, we got lots of sports on there as well, including news of the Carolina baseball team and Riley Hovis, who I'm going to recommend that Fire Chief Dan Jones talk to him because he's quite a fireman, man. He's been really dependable on the mound lately.
That he has.
Putting out a lot of fires. And he's just a great reliever and closer. I mean, the guy is amazing.
Yeah.
So at any rate, we're going to talk next hour on WCHL with Benton Moss, another one of the Carolina pitchers, talking about their game coming up tonight against East Carolina. So
that was a loss last week, so it'd be nice to even up that series here tonight.
Yeah, looking for a little revenge tonight.
Exactly.
It is 7:45 at WCHL, and Fred Black's commentary on the way next. Coming up after that, we'll have traffic and weather together. We have the word of the day, clean joke of the day, and today's WCHL hometown hero.
Bring the kids, welcome your neighbors, and leave the work week behind. Hi, this is Michelle from the Carolina Inn, inviting you to join us for Fridays on the Front Porch every Friday starting at 5 p.m. Fridays on the Front Porch provides the perfect atmosphere for kicking back, relaxing, and getting a jump start on the weekend. Enjoy great food, live music, and fun times under the shady oaks and magnolia trees. There's no cover charge or reservations to attend. For more information, visit CarolinaInEvents.com.
Trust. In the dry cleaning business, trust is what you expect. Hi, this is Brenda Honeycutt. And for more than three decades, our family-owned and operated business has been earning the trust of our loyal customers. I invite you to find out why so many Chapel Hill families trust their everyday and hard-to-handle items with us. Plaza Dry Cleaners on Elliott Road in the Whole Foods Shopping Center. Plaza Dry Cleaners. Improve your image. Come clean with us.
I'm Julianne Vance, a member of the North Carolina Youth Tap Ensemble based in Chapel Hill. Our talented company of incredible dancers, ages 8 to 18, has performed throughout the world, including the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts in Washington, D.C. Come see us perform on Saturday, May 3rd at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, May 4th at 1 p.m. at the Carolina Theater of Durham. If you like dance, rhythm, or live jazz, this is a performance you don't want to miss. For more information, Google NC Youth Tap Ensemble. Thanks, WCHL, for caring about young people and the performing arts.
Wake up with Ron Stutz. And remember that we're your station for Carolina, uniquely qualified to bring you the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Good morning.
54 degrees, 747 at WCHL. Rain's coming.
All right, time now for the clean joke. WCHL is...
No, Lauren, just giving you a little preview. Lauren Stafford coming in with the clean joke of the day in just a moment here on WCHL, so you don't want to go away.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Fred Black. I wonder about what it will really take for some of our local drivers to stop being selfish and care about the hazards that they create. True, some still run red lights with impunity, but you should see Sewell School Speedway in the early morning. Doing 50 or more on that road is insane. We also have drivers who must not remember much from the last time they studied for the DMV test. They drive in the rain without their lights on, and they don't seem to understand the difference between solid and dotted yellow lines. Just watch what happens when the traffic going east on Estes backs up at Franklin Street intersection and how people speed into the left turn lane starting back at Library Drive. It would also be nice if some of our drivers remembered that when they do make that left turn, they're supposed to stay in the left lane. And how about visualizing using the turn signals activated by that stick on the left side of the steering column? If one can visualize using them, then one can easily advance to actually doing it. Maybe we should require drivers to take the test every couple of years, but that won't happen. It costs too much. But what do all these accidents caused by uncaring drivers really cost us? This is Fred Black.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
This is Charlie Ferris, owner-operator of Jersey Mike Subs on Elliott Road, and I'm thrilled to announce the April 30th grand opening of our new location in Chapel Hill North. Visit chapelboro.com or Jersey Mike's Chapel Hill's Facebook page to get a coupon for a free sub when you make a minimum $2 donation to Chapel Hill High or East Chapel Hill High. Come see us at 1802 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Chapel Hill North and support your local high schools.
We asked several members of the Cedars of Chapel Hill what they like best about living there. One of these is Al LeBeau, Cedars member since 2012. Here's what Al had to say.
People wait too long before they go into the retirement community, and all of a sudden they find there's a big, long waiting list to get in. They want to move today, but they should have signed up years ago and gone in. So we tried to cut it off at the pass and go in early before we needed to be there. It's really first-class operation. I mean, the food is marvelous. When we have inclement weather, they will bring meals over to you, and it's just one of those services we find phenomenal. It seems like there's no end to what you can order. Like, if you want two scoops of ice cream, it isn't an extra charge. My wife and I are from the New York metropolitan area, and while we're in Cedars, we are so centrally located, it's just a hop and a skip to the airport. You got great hospitals within easy reach, and of course, there's always the sports activities that you have between, should I mention it, Duke and Chapel Hill.
Thanks, Al. To learn more about the Cedars lifestyle, visit cedarsofchapelhill.com.
It's springtime, and your friends at Glass Half Full Restaurant, Wine Bar, and Wine Shop invite you to enjoy lunch or dinner outdoors on our beautiful garden patio. Glasses of copper-colored rosés shine beside fresh spring greens, fragrant herbs, and crisp new vegetables from the farmer's market. And our pitchers of icy sangria return. For Mother's Day and graduation celebrations, Glass Half Full will open for dinner on Sunday, May 11th at 5 p.m. Spring is definitely in the air at Glass Half Full.
Getting all hungry just hearing about that. Time now for traffic on WCHL. Brought to you this morning by Glass Half Full, the friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop right there in the heart of downtown Carrboro. For Mother's Day and graduation celebrations, Glass Half Full in Carrboro will be open for dinner on Sunday, May 11th at 5 p.m. Good food, good wine, and lots of fun, too, at Glass Half Full. Now with traffic, here's Rand.
Well, it's been a good start to the day so far. We do have a little bit of a slowdown right now on 15501 southbound between I-40 and Ephesus Church Road. 15501 northbound between Estes Drive and Ephesus Church Road, seeing minor to moderate delays right now as well. No accidents being reported at this time, and looks like the rest of the area moving smoothly. If you see anything as you travel through the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely. And Ron, I wonder if Wayne Pond has power this morning.
I don't know. We'll find out soon.
I guess we will.
100% chance of Wayne Pond coming up if the phone's working. And WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro Weather brought to you by Fifth Season Gardening in downtown Carrboro. Grow organic this spring with the area's widest selection of organic vegetables, starch, seeds, soils, and fertilizer. Fifth Season, not your garden variety gardening store. Well, we have a flash flood watch which goes into effect this evening and lasts through late tomorrow night. Cloudy areas of fog this morning, chance of showers, maybe thunderstorms, just plain old drizzle this morning. Then a big chance of rain later on in the day. All day, in fact, high today in the low 70s. Some strong winds, too. 60% chance of rain today, 80% chance of rain tonight, 90% tomorrow and tomorrow night. Oh, boy. Keep it right here on WCHL for all the details on the weather. 7:53 at WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, running a little behind schedule this morning, as usual. Wayne Pond, do you have electricity?
Yeah, I called Ran yesterday to inform him about, I don't know what happened, a snake, a squirrel. Something went wrong out here, and we were powerless for about 7 hours. And obviously, Rand's considerable influence didn't mean anything to Progress Energy. So it just blew him off and took the sweet time.
Pesky squirrel, I'm sure, was responsible for it.
There we go. There's nothing but pesky squirrels. So.
Yep.
All right, here we go. You're a big music fan, Rod, so I thought you'd enjoy this morning. The word of the day is pastoral. Pastoral, P as in Paul, P-A-S-T-O-R-A-L-E, P-A-S-T-O-R-A-L-E. For some reason or other, it just seems natural that at this time of the year we would hear about pastorals being performed here, there, thither, and yon.
I know what that means.
Go ahead.
Pastoral is music performed by the rightmost Reverend Al Green.
You're right. There's a third definition we can add to what the wordsmith offers. Music, obviously, slow instrumental composition in compound time, whatever that means. Help me with it, Ron.
I don't have
usually, you're going to love this, usually with drone notes in the bass. Drone notes, what are we in, the national defense?
Yeah.
And number two definition, a simple musical play with a rural subject. And then you can add the Reverend Green to that, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. Simple musical play, that would be Sly and the Family Stone. Sing a simple song.
There you go. Ron has twisted another word to his evil purposes.
Yeah.
All right, buddy, listen, have a good one. Pastoral, enjoy them while they last.
I'll do it, buddy. Hey, listen, don't get swept away, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
That is Wayne Pond with Word of the Day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Next hour, you have an opportunity to call in and tell me the Word of the Day. Spell it, define it, if you can do it. If you can do all that, then we will give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. 7:55. Top of the morning to you.
All right, time now for the Killing Joke on WCHL. As I said yesterday, it's Lauren Stafford time.
Oh, I thought you were about to say it's Lauren Stafford Day.
You can
we
count
can have
on
a Lauren Stafford Day.
No, you don't get a whole day. Come
oh,
on. Why do you need
how about
a whole
5 day? 5 minutes in a day. This is right now, this next 5 minutes is Lauren Stafford
yes,
time.
Dedicated to you and all that you hold dear. All the people that you love will love this.
Oh, there's not enough time. I love so many people.
That well, that's true. We'd have to give you a
like
whole week.
Like you, Ron. Like you, Ron. I love you.
Yeah, uh-huh, right. You got a good joke today?
I do. That was it. Good ting. I'm just kidding.
Rim
just
shot.
Joking. All right. I have a joke from Mae McClendon.
Oh, good. Good.
And this joke is called 10 Years After Marriage.
Okay.
So 10 years after marriage, a husband visited a marriage counselor and said, "When we were first married, I would come home from the office. My wife would bring my slippers, and our cute little dog would run around barking.
Uh-huh.
But now, after 10 years, it's all different. I come home, the dog brings the slippers, and my wife runs around barking." I think it takes less than 10 years.
Yeah, no. How long have you been married?
4, next month.
It takes about 4 years.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Today's WCHL hometown hero is Ruth Luter of Pittsboro. I know that you have been around in our community for a long time. You have 5 children, 10 grandchildren, and 4 great-grandchildren. But the thing that I'm most impressed with is the fact that you are involved in your church and you're involved in your community. You're a member of Antioch Baptist Church, west of Chapel Hill. Tell me what you do there.
Well, right now I'm one of the co-teachers of the senior adult class there, and I also do Mission Friends on Wednesday night. We have a great group of kindergarten kids that we'd love to be with.
It sounds as if you're really involved in the church and you spend a lot of time there.
I do, and I do the book audits at the end of the year and that type of thing.
You were nominated by Gordon Neville, by the way. One thing that really stands out to me is the fact that you've been involved, heavily involved, in disaster relief programs. First of all, where have you been doing this, and how did you get involved?
Well, I started out years ago when we had the flooding down east, and it was one of those things that I just, once you do it, you're either in or you're out. And I was definitely hooked, and I couldn't do a lot while I was still working because I worked long hours. But as soon as I retired, I have done just as much as I could and gone as much as I could possibly go when the opportunities presented themselves. I had been to Gulfport about 5 times. I've been to Haiti twice. And I've been all over the country, North Dakota, West Virginia, Baytown, Texas, Houma, Louisiana, Walker, Louisiana. Of course, I was on the Instant Command team that went up for Sandy. I was up there for about 18 days.
Wow.
In Colorado for the flooding last year. And, of course, I don't do it with my own strength. I rely heavily on someone up high.
Well, Ruth, in case you don't know, is certified in every area of disaster relief, including damage assessment and recovery. It sounds like you do pretty much everything. Thank you for being so willing to help other people.
Well, I'm blessed every time I go out, for sure.
And I know that you spend as much time as you can as well with your family.
I try, yes. We enjoy being with the children and doing things with them, and we love to camp and travel.
All right. Well, Ruth Luter, thank you very much for everything you do, all your community involvement, all your involvement with your church family. You are today's WCHL
Hill, hometown hero.
Thank you so much.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
54 degrees this morning and cloudy. Expect a lot of rain in the next couple of days.
Local news all day. Breaking news whenever it happened. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 8 o'clock.
Carolina baseball.
Russell throws to second base, and it's Omaha for Carolina.
WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Tornadoes leave more death and destruction.
We had to go from one to the next, and try to help the ones that could be helped.
NBA to weigh in on Donald Sterling.